Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. After I did the Haiti stuff, I just got knocked on my butt. I haven't been sick in over 5 years. I've been working on my immunities, and I got sick. I got a cold. And I think that what it did is it really got to me. And, you know, I'm dealing with a ton of difficult subjects and things. And so it was kind of surprising that that would get to me. But the difference, I think, was that Ezeli Danto was so close to the situation and the emotion and the passion. And it really got me feeling what she is going through and what the people are going through. And I think that's what really got to me. So what I decided to do is bring on an expert that helps with raising your melting point, helping you deal with difficult situations and getting past that. He is Christian Marcoli, and he is Roger Federer's mental coach. Roger Federer, of course, is one of the top tennis, male tennis athletes in history. He's won the Wimbledon, I believe, 8 times. And he is just calm under pressure, and he's notoriously calm under pressure. So I wanted to bring on top expert to talk about this. Everybody's dealing with this difficult news all over the place, and you're dealing with it at work, at home. And I think this getting some tips from someone like him can help all of us. It's not a full hour show. So what I'm going to do after that show is I'm going to bring back part of the interview that I did with Ezeli Danto from Haiti and share with you how powerful that show was. There's actually 4 hours, 4 episodes that I did with her. You can get to all of them at sarahwestall.com. Highly recommend you listen to them. You know, the stuff that's going on in Haiti is going on elsewhere around the world. It's not unique to there. But because it's so close to us and we have people here on the ground who has experience, we can get a good idea of what's actually going on in some of these other countries. So let's get into our interview now with Christian Marcoli.
Hi, Christian. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, Sarah. Nice to be here.
Well, I'm really happy you decided to join us because I got to tell you, I kind of got knocked on my butt lately doing this Haiti show. It was a two-part series. And the stuff that I'm learning, and, you know, I do a lot of hard shows, and my listeners are used to hearing a lot of, you know, truth. I do truth in all sorts of different areas, and I bring the best people in the world to talk to. And sometimes the truth can be very difficult to handle. And, you know, from my standpoint, this Haiti thing kind of knocked me on my butt. I haven't been sick in over 5 years. I really work on my immunities. And I got sick after dealing with this one. I got a cold and things. And I know it has to do with just it really got to me. And so I think working, you know, bringing someone like you on, who's an expert, you work with top athletes, famous executives, helping them deal with that melting point. So to start off, can you talk about what a melting point is?
Well, what I call the melting point is that threshold where you feel that things may be getting too much. This could be, you know, too much either to do or it's too much to take emotionally, a little bit what you were describing. And what happens there is that moment and that point where we kind of start to lose our control. And it's then going to be affected on our emotions, on our thinking, going to be affected in our behaviors. And we start to really think and behave in a way which is not productive anymore to the same degree as we would be able to deliver or to perform our best, really, when we would not hit the melting point.
Well, and I think I want to tie this to current events and to other, you know, listeners who are hearing some of these things that I'm covering. I consider myself a very strong person, and I usually can persevere through a lot, right? So for me, getting sick was like, oh, okay, I need to take a step back. I need to, you know, I started yoga. I did some things. But
good.
But you know, it's the same going all over. You're listening to some, the truth can be really hard. And making change and dealing with the things that we need to deal with in order to make the world a better place can be very hard. And I have a lot of leaders that listen, and I have a lot of people that want to help and make a difference. And it can be very difficult. So I think, you know, helping us understand how we can manage some of these pressures. You talk about, you know, the pressures from the outside world. How can the pressures from the outside world and the general environment really affect your melting point?
Well, you know, it's a difficult time these days, I find, for a lot of people. As you say, lots of change, lots of orientation. You know, we need to find out what's right and wrong. It's not as clear as it used to be. Lots of ambiguity that we need to deal with. And from that perspective alone, it's a period with a lot of instability, and that puts a lot of stress, emotional stress, be it on leaders or being on everybody who has to, you know, to do a good job and to deliver what they're supposed to be delivering. And from that perspective, it's not only about, you know, managing the day-to-day jobs or the tasks that you have to do. It's all based under a certain instability or a certain uncertainty. And we've done research with, you know, even the top CEOs. And these times, Sarah, are the most unstable and the most insecure times that people experience. So leading and making a positive impact on people in under these circumstances is one of the hardest thing for those people.
Well, because people are going so through so much, so there's a lot of irrational behavior that they're trying to deal with. So they're trying to keep themselves to be a leader while dealing with a lot of irrational and things around them. It's really hard to maintain that composure and that leadership that you really need, even in your own family and everywhere.
Yeah. And that's something I'm really also focusing on with, you know, and this is why I wrote this book. It's, you know, performance doesn't really stop at your, you know, workplace or your performance place. It's, to me, performance is a holistic concept. If you're a leader, you're leading at work, you're leading outside of work, you're leading families, you're leading communities. And this has now become so demanding that a lot of people, you know, that come to me and start to work with me really need to learn to manage their energy systematically, because that's such a key thing. You know, it's long days, hard days, lots of open questions. And so much is not in our control. You know, it's like you can't say, okay, let me have a lot of energy in the morning, let me tackle the most important questions, and then in the afternoon I go on with the easier stuff. Who knows what comes in, you know, at 7 o'clock after a long day at work. Maybe the hardest question, the most important question you need to answer at that point. So I really recommend everyone out there to be caring about themselves in a way that they're that they stay healthy, that they have enough energy at the end of a long working day. I always tell my people that I work with, you need to have 30% energy left when you leave work, so you can make an impact with the people outside of work. And that, Sarah, needs systematic and strategic self-management through, you know, through the course of the day.
Well, it's like my daughter, you know, after having a really hard day, you know, I'm doing that Haiti thing. And my daughter has a complete meltdown at night. You know, she's a teenager. It's part of being a teenager. And so now I have to manage. She doesn't have the emotional ability to handle everything around her. And she's going, you know what it's like being in high school. Oh, my God. So my daughter's having this complete meltdown, and I have to be a good parent, right?
Yeah. So you got up at night and you spent some time with her, right?
Yeah. I mean, I talk to her and I work through that stuff. I can't just shut her down and say, I got my own crap to deal with, which is what you know, you want to do, but you can't, you know, you have responsibilities that's beyond what it is that your job or whatever else that you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is exactly something that, you know, it's always been important, but now, Sarah, it's probably one of the most important concepts that I've been using is if you can go through a normal day, which is not extraordinary busy. I mean, we always have those degrees, right? Is it a good busy day or is it like a super busy day? If you have a normal busy day, I highly recommend that you go through that day with 90% of your energy and you don't give everything, so that you have, you know, a little bit of energy left in general for things like that. I mean, your most important meeting was with your daughter, to be honest. I can imagine that,
yes,
that day,
yes.
Right? But who was, you know, like, you were not able to plan that, right? Because you had no idea how she would respond to all this. So if you would be completely, you know, exhausted and empty and had no energy left, who knows how this conversation with your daughter would have turned out?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's where abuse comes in too, right? Where you got to watch yourself. I mean, I think I did a pretty good job, but I could see people losing it and not being the person they want to be. And whether it's with your daughter or with that your neighbor or with anything that's important to you, you mess it up, right? And what kind of consequences have you seen when people just, they mess it up?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting observation, because people remember us, right? They all remember us. And the funny thing is, they remember us not for the 95% of the time where we were at our best and when we were good. They remember us for the 5% where we misbehaved, or where we had emotional outbursts, or where we said something we shouldn't say. And these things in the brain of the people stick much longer than the others. So I have a concept that I call excellence, and excellence means you really should not allow yourself to show a bad side. And oftentimes people, you know, at work, they kind of have that energy or that intention to still kind of control, and then they're so exhausted and they come home and then they kind of don't have that kind of same attitude anymore, and then they kind of, it's much, you know, outbursts are much likely more to get than at work. So it's something that really needs a holistic mindset of, I'm a human being and I'm going to make a difference in the world, and it doesn't really matter if I am doing this at work or at home or in my community or wherever I am. Every minute I'm up, I'm going to make a positive impact. I think that's the mindset we should all take over.
Well, what kinds of things? Let's say you're watching a news show or you're doing something and it triggers you. You know, how do you reach a higher level of knowledge? So you don't have, you know, how do you go about doing that so you can? Well, let's go back to, you have three factors that interact to determine an individual's melting point. Let's start with some of those basics. What are they?
Well, the first one is your basic psychological, I call it psychological constitution, right? Some of us just have a thicker skin than others. Some of us can take more than others before they melt. I mean, that's, you know, probably grown over the years. That's who they are from a personality perspective. And we need to accept that. And I find we need to be very aware and clear of where we stand. So can I take a lot, or, you know, do I get nervous or anxious easily? That's the first thing. The second thing is what's happening currently in the outside world? Like, what kind of pressures are out there that really are hard for me to take? This could be really only one thing, but it's so hard for me that it has a strong, you know, a heavy impact around the way I think and feel. And the third one is, In the role that I have, you know, there are certain constant pressures that have I grown into that role. You know, leaders, for example, per definition, need to have a stronger stronger back than non-leaders, because they need to protect other people from certain stresses. So this combination really works into how high my melting point is.
Well, what are some of the main pressure points that raise the heat, as you call it, that cause a person a meltdown?
Yeah, well, it's really, first of all, this is a very individual thing. And as I said, one thing could already cause a meltdown, depending on how painful it is, really, right? So we're talking about things like health issues, family crisis. We're talking about people losing or are in prospect of maybe losing their jobs. It could have a huge impact on their melting point. And there are less dramatic things I find a lot when I work with, you know, leaders and performers. But they're still working very heavily on them. For example, fatigue, politics at work, office politics, you know, toxic relationships. And one, you know, very common thing is now technology, which, you know, basically gives people the opportunity to potentially work 24 hours, 7 days. And especially when you have like driven people who want to make a positive mm-hmm. impact on the world quickly, it's hard for them to disconnect.
Yeah, well, that's me. I could work around the clock. That's why I'm starting to figure out how to back off a little bit. But, you know, isn't there sometimes a low-level stress that's always there? And all, like, for example, you might be losing your job, or, you know, always have a fear of losing your job, or always have a fear if you're working. Like, a lot of doctors I know really have an issue with this to the point where they become physically ill because of the stress of people dying mm-hmm. around them or not being able to control their environment. How do you deal with that and not, you know, raise your melting point and be healthy about it?
Yeah. One important thing is that we all regularly disconnect. I mean, I'm so persistent on this fact, on this factor. We all need to disconnect. Whatever you do or whatever it is, you need, you know, preferably in the evening when you're done with work, you need about 90 minutes where you completely disconnect from that thing that's really heavy. And one thing that, you know, most people don't do well is they don't handle devices well. They don't handle, you know, smartphones well. They don't handle tablets well, computers, TV, you know. They're kind of not at work, but they're still connected somehow. They still carry their phones with them.
Yes.
They're checking emails regularly. So, you know, they're saying, yeah, I'm not at work anymore, but actually there's still somehow at work, you know. And that, if you take this is not for one day, Sarah. This is a week or months. If there is no regular disconnect, I almost give you the guarantee that you will reach your melting point earlier.
Well, you know, I actually saw this report where kids that are on devices all the time, that their brain development
yeah.
is actually retarded. And what they did is they brought them out into the desert with nothing, completely disconnected them, and their brain development started to come back.
Yeah, and these are things, I mean, we as, you know, parents now, you know, with the kids growing up, this is a new thing. Like, we didn't have that, right? And we need to kind of stay connected with what's going on, because otherwise, if that takes over and it's too much, it can really do damage.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially with kids where it's actually affecting their brain development.
Right.
And we just are starting to understand what this is doing to us and to human beings. And I know for myself, just disconnecting, doing yoga or something makes a huge difference. Well,
yeah.
What are some of the things that you do to help people raise their melting point? You know, we talked about
yeah.
disconnecting. What other things can you do to train yourself to raise your melting point so you're productive and healthy?
Yeah. Let me give you another example for disconnecting.
Okay.
A lot of people that I work with, I ask them, where is your mobile phone when you're in bed, when you sleep at night, right? And you cannot imagine how many people tell me it's with me on the bedside table. Right. And I ask them why. And they say, well, I have my alarm clock on it. Right. And then we looked at, you know, specifically looked at sleeping patterns. And we found that people who take their iPhone or their, you know, smartphones close to their bed, what they do before they fall asleep is check in emails. right? And there's almost like this automatic impulse for this email button. And they check in emails, and that raises anxiety. Plus, you have the blue light from the device that has an impact on the melatonin production, which makes it harder for you to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So you fall asleep, but you don't sleep well. So the probability you wake up in the middle of the night is higher. So what happens is we found out, we looked at the patterns. What happens is they looked at their iPhone, what time it is. And if they couldn't fall back asleep within 5 minutes, guess what? They were checking emails in the middle of the night, raising their anxiety. They had blue light again. So we found patterns that when they woke up in the morning, they were tired. But no wonder they were tired, right? There was not a moment of restful, peaceful sleep. And it's because of their habits, how they deal with their devices. So my recommendation to all the people out there, put all your devices outside of your bedroom in order to not fall into the temptation to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it's too easy to do that. I try to do that. My daughter doesn't, though, and I got to work with her on that. I'm a bad parent for letting her have her phone in her room.
Well, put the camera up and see what she does in the middle of the night.
Exactly. It's hard with a teenager, but okay. So no, can you know some of these things that you do to raise your melting point? You know, to have more patience and to be able to withstand more. How do you withstand more without causing long-term negative effects? I mean, you know, just being able to take on more isn't necessarily a positive thing.
No, absolutely not. And this is a big danger nowadays because there is so much information available, and it really requires a clear and sharp mind to determine what's the really, really important thing and have the courage to focus on that. It has a lot to do with emotional intelligence. It has to do with, you know, being sharp and being, you know, awake to be able to do that well. It's so easy to not be 100% and start to do everything a little bit instead of focusing on the things you know you're going to make a difference. And with that, Sarah, you make a decision for maybe not doing certain things. That to me is part of leadership. Independently if you're in a leadership role, but taking the courage to say, okay, here's what really matters. Here is what makes a difference, and I'm going to focus on that and do a great job in it. And some other stuff may still be somehow important, but not to the same degree, I can't focus on right now. And with that, you know, if you do that on a regular basis, you get a really good confidence and a really good feeling that you're making progress on the real important things, which is one of the key things in order to raise your melting point, that you have the feeling that you're making progress on the right stuff.
Yeah, because if you don't feel like you're making a difference, then that actually turns up the heat, right?
Yeah, it's nothing more frustrating than spending, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, 14 hours at work. And at the end of the day, when you go home and someone asks you, how was your day? You say, well, I didn't have a good day because I don't even remember what impact I had. There's nothing more frustrating than that, but it takes a moment. I call it focus time that you need to embed into your days. So what is focus time? You know, my recommendation is that people at least twice a day take a 45 minute time period where they completely detach from email, phone, and determine what is the most important thing I need to make progress on today, and then invest 45 minutes without interruption and distractors to make progress. If you have two of those cycles, like if you have 90 minutes net time working on something that's really important, most of the people out there will make progress. And there is research out there that looks at satisfaction and when do people call a day, you know, a good day when they come home after work, you know, and people ask you, did you have a good day? There is research out there that clearly states one of the major factors in order for you to feel that you have a good day is that you made progress on something which matters. So we need to create our behaviors and a structure in a way that we allow ourselves to make progress in order to get that, you know, that feeling at the end of the day that we all deserve.
Well, you have worked with a lot of famous people, athletes, executives, all sorts of leaders in the communities and governments and things. Who have you worked with in the past and maybe now? And can you share with us some, I know you can't, things are confidential, but can you share with us some specific stories that are interesting?
Well, a lot of the work I do is really one-on-one, and it is, as you stated, confidential. I can, you know, one thing that is public and where, you know, people all over the world are kind of very amazed of you know, how he does things is Roger Federer, the tennis star, right? I work with him many years back already, and specifically around increasing the ability to, you know, stay strong and focused and composed under massive stress and pressure, which, you know, in high level tennis, you have that you're out on the court, millions are watching on TV. And now with him winning Wimbledon, and, you know, as the 90th Grand Slam title, I mean, this has been, you know, for so many people in the world, you know, a proof and an inspiration that this kind of concept really works.
Well, he really is. And people talk about that. Pressure, his composure under pressure is pretty amazing. He really is kind of legendary in how he does that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, because of hopefully your insights can really help people and listeners. But, and I know everybody's confidential, but can you talk about some of the stories that, you know, some things that might help people?
Well, the thing about having, let me start differently. We all have our inner ambitions and goals and dreams and hopes that we kind of want to achieve in order for us to then look back and say that was a great life, or I had an impact on, I really achieved what I wanted. And that is independent on status, I found. And, you know, it's, people sometimes feel that being the president of something is the greatest thing on earth, which, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be. It's what makes a difference for you, and where's the deeper meaning for you, and what kind of, you know, what kind of activity and achievement. So having started with that, for some top performers, this is very clear. You know, I briefly spoke about Roger Federer. For him, being, you know, the greatest tennis player is pretty clear as an objective. For a lot of people out there, though, it's not as clear. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean for you, Sarah? Is it to have the biggest, the greatest show on earth, or is it something else, right? And I find to develop that clarity of what it really is, right, is, you know, you told me bringing truth to people, right? It's so much more rewarding than thinking of what comes with it, or how many listeners I have, and how big's my audience. You know, it's really how can I make this place, in this world, a better place by bringing truth to people.
That's my goal, is to bring truth and help people make a positive difference and make the world.
And
a better
I love
place.
That. And I love that, right? And for you, in this case, Sarah, I would highly recommend every morning when you get up, take 5 minutes and visualize and check in with this purpose. Because ultimately, when we're connected with that purpose, it drives automatically our behaviors through the day. But I find a lot of people, because, you know, they're getting up and they're checking emails right away, or they go to the internet, or they're watching news right away. I find a lot of people are not connected with their purpose. And I find there's so much information and influence on us that I really recommend that, you know, people taking a first step in the day by connecting them with their values and their purpose. And really let the day be guided by that. So am I making sense?
Yes, yes, that's great.
So if you have a 5 minute in the morning and you have a 5 minute transition ritual between work and home, which again connects you with maybe a bit of a different purpose, you know, because at home you may have a different ambition or a different meaning. And it needs to tweak the way you connect yourself to what you're going to do now. So, you know, having those 5 minute rituals in the morning and the 5 minute rituals when you transition between work and home, you have a very good, strong mental preparation for the next couple of hours to be at your best.
Well, what other, is this kind of what you tell everybody, or do you tell people different things based on the problems that they have?
I in the individual coaching process I have, of course, we tailor-made everything and we really go into the specifics of it, of the personal situation. But there are some general principles that I recommend to everybody. As I said, disconnect on a regular basis, check in with your values and purpose on a regular basis. That is independent on personal situations.
Well, how do you work with people in general? Like, do they come to you and then say, "Hey, I got issues. How do I become better? You know, I'm leading this corporation, or I'm starting this charity, and I really want to help the people in this community because they're being taken advantage of, but I'm struggling with all the pressures or, you know, the politics or whatever, and I want to raise my melting point, or I'm, you know, whatever they are that they're dealing with." How do they?
Yeah, that's usually how I get contacted. You know, people have heard of me or have written, read my books. And then they reach out and they say, "Look, I'm fascinated by the work you do. It's something that I feel can help me." And it goes in the direction that you were describing. You know, they feel they really can make a difference. But in the given circumstances they are, they need to learn to better manage their energy. They need to learn to better disconnect. They need to learn to better stay focused in order to do so. And this is not for, you know, oftentimes it's not for a specific day. This is a general increase of the melting point. It's a general learning of a set of skills, which allows me to be at my best on the highest level.
Now, do you ever come in and deal with groups of people? Like, they're all maybe like a high-level military group that's going to go in and do some kind of thing that's really difficult, where you might go in and help out a group of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it a lot in the business context. I have many leadership, you know, executive teams where, you know, the way it works usually is the leader starts to do that work individually, and then she or he says, you know, "This is great. Can we do this with our team?" Because also teams have melting points. You know, this is when does a team become dysfunctional? You oftentimes can observe a certain amount of pressures that trigger dysfunctionality. And raising that collective melting point is another thing that I do with, especially with corporate teams.
Well, how about with sports teams? That's really interesting. A melting point can be when they fall apart on a field.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in sports, I go as far as saying at the end, when it comes down to a final or who's going to win the decisive match or competition, it's probably 80-90% all about the melting point. And sports is great because we can all watch it, live in the stadium or on TV. We're so close to the athletes doing that. I think that's the fascinating things about sport. We can watch it. And even if we aren't as fit as, you know, the athletes, we can still relate to that. And observing people, you know, athletes or teams win while others lose, ultimately, I find in most cases, it's about who has a higher melting point.
Yeah, because you can see that people buckle under pressure when they could have just slammed at home and they just can't do it.
Right. Exactly.
Well, how can people reach you and get a copy of your book?
Well, the book's out there. You can order it anywhere, right? So that's easy. And anyone who wants to, you know, reach us and work with us or interested for a conversation, feel free to contact me at www.marcoli.com. Yeah, we're doing, you know, our work all over the world. So I travel a lot, and this is long-distance coaching. Everything's not a problem.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I have a copy of your book, and I'm going to read it. And I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing, and it's just going to keep getting harder, and I am okay with that. I just have to come up with some plans.
Exactly. And you're going to find a lot of tips in the book, so I hope it's going to be helpful for you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Sarah. You too. Thanks.